Blog Talk Radio.
The LaRusha Kane Show.
Hello, beautiful, and thank you for tuning in to the LaRusha Kane Show on Living Out Loud Network, your self-love place. I am excited to be with you. Yes, I am. As always, I have my tea. I hope that you have your tea, your coffee, or your favorite beverage as we sit back and chat. Well, today in the co-host chair, we have another phenomenal, I know I say it every week, but we really do have phenomenal guest hosts. Well, we have Shiree Wright, owner of Healing for Her LLC. She will be with us. She is in the virtual green room eating her virtual pretzels, drinking her virtual soda, and going over her virtual notes. I'm telling you, she is ready to get it, and to share with us. So at this time, family, I want you to share this show with your Facebook family and friends, your Instagram buddies, your Twitter, your tweet, and let them know that it's going down today on the LaRusha Kane Show. Beautiful. Yes, I have a question I would like to ask you. Do you have a self-love and self-care routine? As people, we often tend to neglect our own needs. It's important for us to recognize and realize that, yes, it is okay to take a break. And, yes, it is okay to give yourself a time out. But there's more to it than taking a break every now and then. Self-love and self-care is being good to your overall health and well-being. And that's what we plan on doing. That's what we are doing today. Well, Shiree Wright, owner of Healing for Her, she will be talking to us about walking in victory. Shiree is a mentor, public speaker, and purpose pusher. Shiree believes she exists to help young ladies and women who have been hurt and deserted to discover their voice and find power in their pain through workshops, individual sessions, and live events. I'm telling you, she sounds phenomenal already. And I'm telling you, you want to grab a pen, paper, and take down some notes, because she's going to be sharing with us some great things. And I am not going to prolong our time together, because I can't wait to hear all the things that she has to share with us. I know you can't wait to hear. And so we're just going to bring her in, because, you know, we want to know more about this phenomenal woman. Well, hello, Shiree.
Hello. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I am wonderful as well. Excited, very excited. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're excited. I'm glad that you're here today on the show, and I'm glad that you said yes to being here. And I thank you again for saying yes to walking in victory, because so many people today are walking in defeat, living in defeat, talking in defeat, and you decided to take whatever you have gone through and to not just be a victim, but be victorious and not be a survivor, but a thriver, but walk in victory and share with others how to do that also. So I just want to say thank you for being a purpose pusher and helping us, this community, our community, to be greater, to be better and stronger and wiser. I thank you.
You're welcome. And I also thank you for discovering and walking in your purpose, which allowed this opportunity. So for your platform, for your gifting. So I thank you as well.
You are more than welcome. Well, you know, the way I start the show is always I do these 5 icebreaker questions. And what happened was one day I went to the movies with me and some of my dear, sweet people that I hang out with. And we watched this show called Top 5. And what ended up happening was, for those that are unaware, Chris Rock starred in it, and I think he produced it and wrote it as well. And so this was his show. He was in a room full of rappers, and he asked them a question. He said, who are your favorite top 5 rappers? Now, if it's okay with you, Shari, can I call you Shy?
Yes, you can.
For the rest of the remainder of the show. Okay. Well, Shy, I'm not going to ask you who are your favorite top 5 rappers because I don't want us to have this kind of beef going on. You know, you might say DMX, you know, and I might say, you know, Jay-Z, just hypothetically saying,
uh-huh.
And we get in this battle war. And so I don't want to battle war with you. So it's nothing about rapping. It's specifically about you. So would you like to play along with me?
Yes, I am ready to play.
All right. Well, thank you. Question number 1, what is your favorite color and why?
Black. I love black because it's elegant, it's bold, it's classy, it's mysterious. Anything can go with it, which is kind of like my personality. But I love black.
Ooh, I love how you described it. I love it, love it, love it. I like it. It's mysterious. It's classy. It's elegant. It's so many things. And when you said black, I was, you know, because I don't know. So I was waiting to hear what you would have to say. And that one just struck me as interesting. I was like, oh, I'm intrigued. I would wish she's going to go with this one. So I thank you for black. That's the good one. Okay, question number 2. If your life was a novel, what would it be called?
Let's see. Oh, the first thing that popped in my head was Journey at Bay. Because when I think of a bay, you know, it's like a body of water. So it's very broad. When you go on a journey, you know, most people welcome a journey because, you know, it's about discovery, it's about finding. But walking into this pool, so journey at the bay, because there's so many things that you're going to find and discover. First thing that popped in my head.
Love it. I love it, love it, love it. Okay. Now, this one right here. Sometimes this one stumps and perplex people for a minute, so it's okay if it take you off guard. In one word, how would you describe Shy?
Bold.
I just, you know, I had to take a sip on that one. I had to take a sip. I love that answer. Bold. Okay. I just do. I think you should be unapologetic about some things. Okay. Well, question number 4. How does Shy unwind?
My unwinding is music to start off. I've always loved music. When I was younger, I would sing. So music, and then when I get to where it is I'm going, I just need space and time to myself. Whether it be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I just need to digress. So that way I can shut off where I came from, process where I'm at, and then step into what it is that I need to do now.
Mm. So if I was to sit in your car with you, just ad-libbing or adding to the question, what would I be listening to with you?
Currently right now I am listening to Ja'Kalyn Carr, You Will Win, Fantasia, It Is It Was Necessary. Who else do I have in rotation? It's slipping me right now. But I have a few. I pretty much gather my 6 songs every about 2 weeks. I get some songs and I just listen to them. I you know, hear the message or the lesson that I'm supposed to find in them. But I like a mixture from the old school gospel too. You know, I like that, you know, that preaching, that teaching throughout the music. So those are a couple people I'm listening to right now.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, this is my last question. In light of Aretha Franklin passing, how did it impact you, her death, or affect you?
I would say at one point, I forget which outlet, but I heard her story, a part of her story. And, you know, by the time I was born, she was already Aretha Franklin, you know, I would be the kid with the adults listening to all the old music, that's the Kool and the Gang and all that. So up until then, nothing ever dawned on me to, oh, like, where did she grow up? How was her childhood? So when I started to hear her story, a lot of things that I've seen in her as a woman began to make sense. Just, you know, the fact that she was here, you know, all that time and not thinking, which we often do, like, what is this person's story? Just seeing how people supported and came out, the effect was when you're here, people are watching, some you know, some you don't know. And whatever you do, you might as well make sure that you're doing what you love. You're walking in your purpose because you only got one life to live, and that was consistent with everyone that pretty much, you know, knew her. She knew what she was doing. You know, she was gifted in singing and, you know, other things that she did throughout in the community. So just learning that stuff impacted me to say, wow, she was more than just a singer. And even with people at that caliber, what is the story to the person, you know, in craft that you see now? So it kind of it helped me become sensitive, more sensitive to that.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And also thank you for playing along with us and giving us some phenomenal answers. I tell you, I'm still stuck on the black. But what you just said about Aretha Franklin spoke volumes, and I think a lot of us really understand what you're saying. And really, like you said, looking beyond the celebrity status, what is their life about? How did they grow up? What do they believe in? What's their purpose? You know, what was her legacy? Things of that nature. And, you know, learning from that, growing from that as a person as well. So I just thank you for sharing that with us. And I just appreciate your answers. Well, I'm going to jump right in into the topic of conversation for today, walking in victory. You know, when I was looking at information about you, and, you know, because we are on social media together and looking at your website and different things of that nature, one of the things I had an opportunity to see is that when you were younger, a lot of your peers began to seek you out for advice, and that you were not the typical child. You were a little unusual. What was it about you, or what do you believe it was about you that made your peers comfortable with speaking to you about what they were going through?
Looking back, I believe it was a sincerity that once you start talking to me, it wasn't like, oh, okay, you know, it was, okay, you gave me your situation, now I'm asking you questions, now I'm giving suggestions, now I'm bringing up ideas, now I'm being empathetic with you, sympathetic, I'm sharing stories with you that are alike, so which turns into an encouragement. So I always say you can tell when someone is being genuine, even as a young person.
Mm-hmm.
I believe because my approach, it's gotten softer. But I don't have the, when you see me, it's not like, oh, let's go over and talk to her. It's kind of like, no, I don't think I want to talk to her. But then it's something about her, you know, that's intriguing.
Yeah.
Like she, you know. Looking back on it, I believe that's what it was. Like I was really able to relate and never have any judgment about it.
Even at that young of an age, you are already coaching and teaching and mentoring. I just want to kind of jump a little bit and say, do you see from being a child to today how it was a roadmap, a guide that God was using to get you to where you are today, even as a child?
Most definitely. A grooming period, of course. You know, as a child, all you want to do is be a child. So when you have to take on all these other roles, you know, it gets complicated, it gets frustrating. But then it comes a point in life where you're like, ah, that's why. That's what it was for. It was definitely, you know, grooming. It was to be groomed as far as my character, my integrity, my flexibility. How my boldness came at a very young age. It had to start at a young age because God knew He was going to call me at a young age. So I couldn't be your typical kid. I couldn't, you know, wear my emotions on my shoulders. I needed to know how to feel and acknowledge the emotion, but then make sound decisions and choices. So, yes, when I look back at all of that, because without it, then who would I be? Because it all started there. So most definitely.
I love that, how He just takes us through life and He just begins, you know, He's shaping us and making us and molding us. Well, we've already been shaped, made, and molded, but I'm saying walking into what He asked for us and who we are and making us, and it, as far as our character and things like that, are concerned. And I love what you said. You know, He knew what you were going to go through. He knew that you would accept your call at a young age and do what He's called you to do. And you needed the boldness. You needed to know the power of your voice to be able to do that. But you said something that was so imperative, and I just have to ask you about this one. You were able to get in touch with your emotions, but make sound judgments and sound decisions, didn't allow your emotions to dictate that. You know, at the age of 8, you were already speaking to a crowd of 100 people. At you know, as a teenager, you were continuing to blossom and to bloom as a speaker. And then at the age of 19, you were already speaking to youth groups and churches and in the community. And in, you know, and in high school. You know, as time went on, you became a certified teacher, you know, as far as in preschool, helping with preschool age kids and the system in school. Now, looking at that and seeing you as a woman and understanding your voice and understanding the emotions and not allowing them to dictate to you, why was it important or imperative for you to empower the youth? Because a lot of people go through things, been through things, and still won't go back, you know, won't pay it forward, still haven't learned the importance of it. So why was it so important for you, Shai, to empower the youth?
It was important because although I didn't, parts of me felt like a young person and parts of me didn't, it was important because my youth, it was very confusing. It was traumatic at times. I felt lost, alone. It was at times, you know, hurtful. I was sad. So in majority of that time, not having anyone to go to, having to process it and understand it just within myself in the, you know, at that age, whatever age, you know, I'm dealing with, the tools and the resources, the people that are surrounding me, because that's what he always made sure I had, people around me. It wasn't, that's a very, man, that age is just very, if you don't catch it, if you don't provide the help, that's a very critical age. So because he started to groom me so young that, okay, yeah, I may be 19, but they were respecting me like I was, you know, a 30-year-old woman, the parents and the kids. It was just automatic. It wasn't like, oh, she's only, you know, 4 years older than me or, you know, you young enough to be my daughter. It was this automatic respect. And because I know what that felt like, I already carried the burden. So I felt their pain. I felt their hurt. So even if I didn't want to, God allowed me to feel that. So I literally carried the burden of the youth. Don't let them go to the altar. It's over, you know. So it literally was a burden, you know, that naturally I can relate to and spiritually, most definitely relate to. So I had no choice but to go back because it's like, I know, let me help you. I know you're lost. I know you're confused. I know you don't have the support. I know you're trying to figure it out. You're trying to do your best. I know, you know, you're also a kid, but your parents have you in a parenting role. Let me walk you through that because I've been there. I know what it's like. So it was just automatic. It was in me. So that's where everything started.
Love it. Love it. What would you say to the listener, the one that's listening, that's saying, Shy, what you said is me. I'm confused. I feel lonely. I'm hurt. I feel like I'm growing up maybe quicker than I should because I'm the parent, quote unquote, to my parent or to the adults around me, and I've been traumatized. What would you say to that person or person?
Learn the lesson. So, and what I mean by learn the lesson, because of, you know, when you're a kid, you can't tell your parents what to do, although some try. So you're just kind of stuck figuring this out. You know, you need a place to live. You need someone to help buy your clothes, provide food, and all that. Learn the lesson because God calls young people. A lot of disciples in the Bible were young people. So if you're going to church every single Sunday, you're part of a youth group. You're part of a girls' mentoring group. Start taking it serious. Start reading. Start praying. Because a lot of that frustration, it will be released. And some stuff you just don't have to go through. That's just, it's just life, you know. But even as a young person, you know, we were serious back then, you know. So start taking it serious so you can learn the lesson. And how awesome if you learn the lesson as a young person. So then you're not a grown person still dealing with stuff from your childhood, your adolescence. So looking around you to see those adults that have tried to help you, but you kind of push them away or you don't know what you're talking about, because God always places people around us that's there to help us get to that next step or get help us maneuver through a current situation. So utilize the tools that's been provided. Assess who has extended themselves to you. Be open that your help may not come from a familiar place. Be open that it may not come from, you know, an uncle, you know, a friend's mom you've known from forever, because it's going to happen the way that God needs it to happen. So he's going to send the people that he needs to send for you. So be open to receiving that help in a different way, that, you know, guidance and assistance. But hold on, be encouraged, and just know that everything that you're going through right now, it's going to be used to propel you into your purpose. It's part of the journey. It's part of the lesson. And you will, you're going to reap. You're going to, everything you're thinking and why can't I have this, why can't I do that, God already has you taken care of. You just have to go through the process.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for speaking life and encouragement to the listening audience, for that one that is going through that said, okay, Shai, what you're saying is my life. That's my experience. So I just thank you for using your gift and encouraging them, your life, and encouraging them. Well, I have another question. It says, at the age of 23, you started a mentor group for young girls 12 to 17 years old as Young Ladies of Excellence.
Yes.
At the age of 23, like you say, you've already been walking in it since you were 20, since you were 8. So What was Young Ladies of Excellence all about?
Young Ladies of Excellence was actually birthed from a very desolate place. Of course, by the time it came to life, you know, the healing and repentance and all that came forth, but I'm a very candid person. Young Ladies of Excellence was birthed after I had an abortion, and that whole traumatic experience, I knew nothing about it. Other women I seen do it, just act like it was nothing. You know, you just go on with your life. I started having dreams, nightmares. You're talking about the spirit of condemnation. I couldn't ask for repentance enough. So it was very traumatic, I pretty much had to go through it myself, because, again, those around me, that was their norm. And I'm like, no, something is not right with this. I'm having all these feelings. I'm thinking this. I'm feeling like that. And I actually have to go online and start searching. And then I read other women's stories. And I'm like, okay, I'm not crazy. Okay, this is part of the process. And then I was like, wow, if I just went through all this by myself, who else? Because those that were around us and those that were younger, they wasn't talking about that. They wasn't sharing their story. So how do I go to you and tell you something? All you're telling me is that you've been saved 25 years, the Lord is your best friend, and you just walking with Jesus, but you ain't told me nothing. So I can go to you. So in that space, after the healing and all of that, and God just began to, because I was already working in youth ministry, I was a youth leader, and I think at this time it was kind of like transitioning. And young Ladies of Excellence was first. And then I started looking at all these teenage girls. There was no one to talk to them. So that fueled it. Like, no, I'm not about to let them go through. Now, am I going to be able to, you know, help and assist with everything? No. But I can definitely touch some areas, because I had to walk through and experience all that alone, because the women around me were not talking. So that's how Young Ladies of Excellence came about. I would do conference group, you know, meetings, go here, do this, and that, speak with the young ladies, come up with, you know, speak certain topics, self-love, worth. I was an open book. Literally, they could ask me anything, and they were going to get a real raw answer. And at the end of that, I will always say, although you have this information, do what you feel is best for you, because I can just tell you my story. Now, some people learn by hearing. You may hear my story and still go do it. But you also know that at the end of that, if you get it right and you do right, that it can be used for your glory. So that was my, I have to. I couldn't sit around and let these young girls be lost and confused and get guidance from everyone else that wasn't really going to speak to where it is that they were going. So that's how Young Ladies of Excellence was birthed. And I did it until the last conference I did was in 2011. During that time, you know, I was going through the process, basically. I didn't know at that time, but to get to where I'm at now. But I still kept in contact with the, you know, doing individuals, they, you know, calling me. And so that was still going on. But that's how Young Ladies of Excellence was birthed.
It's really good. I love how God does that. He just does it so well. You know, it's just, you're in a desperate place, you're in a hurt place, you're in a confused place, and God is like, start something, do this. You're like, wait a minute, what about me? But he'll allow you to see the bigger picture. He'll allow you to see the purpose behind it and how many people are sitting in it and they don't have a voice. You know, they don't have someone to talk to. And you were sharing something, and I went, I'm listening, because it got really good. You said you could give us Jesus and everything else, but you couldn't give us anything else. I'm paraphrasing what you said. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes in the church, especially back in the day when we were growing up, we would hear, just take it to the Lord in prayer, or we don't talk about that, or, you know, get over that, or, you know, they just dismissed it altogether. So there was no way to properly, I would say, digest it and to deal with it and to get healed and deliver from it if I can't talk about it, if I can't share it. So I thank you for giving your pain a voice and turning it into purpose, allowing God to turn it into purpose to help to create a platform for other people that have gone through the same thing or something similar to have a place, to a safe place, a safe haven, a refuge to go to or come to get the help that they need.
I thank you
for that, because, you know, I was a teen mother. And I'm a PK, and being in the church at that time, my dad was at a different church, and because I was raised by my grandparents, so I was at their church. And I remember being pregnant, and the looks, and the whispers, and all of those things, and you feel, you know, really ashamed about, you know, what's going on with you. So, you know, even with having my son, the thing that really got me was there was no one there to talk to me about it, to encourage me, to let me know God still yet loves you, you know, that you still have purpose. So I felt abandoned. I felt neglected. I felt like, why am I here? So I was angry. It was a whole bunch of things. And but now I have a better understanding of why. But at that time, I said, I can't wait till I get a certain age, because I'm leaving church and never coming back, because these people are crazy. That's what I said. I said, they're crazy, Lord. But not knowing that I had to go through all of that to get where I'm at today. So I am so appreciative of your growth, your story, your transformation, all God has brought you through. Now, speaking of facing numerous traumas, you know, I want to ask you, how were you able to turn all of that around and walk in victory? Because a lot of people say, you know, I went through it, and then I came out on the other side, praise to Jesus, I'm good, you know. But what was your process really like with going through that? For me, I only can speak for me, I was very angry, so I had to accept a lot of things, forgive some people, and myself was really the number one person to forgive. And there's other factors, but what was your process to walking in victory?
A part of that was forgiveness, because of my childhood and having that responsibility. I was just angry. Like, I felt like I was robbed of the opportunity just to be carefree, just to go play, just, you know, And so I had to work through, and it was deep-rooted, like it was hatred. I can actually say that. I had to, the Bible said be angry and sin not.
Yes.
So once I discovered that, I said, okay, I could be angry a little bit longer. But basically, mm-hmm. once I went into my early adult, and you begin to really understand the word and apply it, if how can I expect God to forgive me if I can't forgive, if I'm supposed to be in his likeness? So I really mm-hmm. had to pray about how to forgive and how to, and when I say let stuff go, not act like it didn't happen, but mm-hmm. Go through the full process of healing. And a lot of times we like to skip steps, but, identify what happened, how it made me feel, how do I move from this place? So it was a lot of self-reflecting. I would write a lot of journaling, poems. A lot of times I would purposely isolate myself, meaning, still go to church and do what I needed to do. But I got serious about it. Like, what is this? I was born into this. Even identifying, the generational curses and things like that. So I got serious,
Yeah.
When you won't change, you can't just say you want it. You have to start doing the work. And so those guards, started to come down. I was able to start forgiving. And not just, the forgiving where you, like, in yourself you forgive, but letting the person know. And,
yes.
In doing that so that I could free myself, because it's rarely ever about them. It's about you. So that
yes.
was a huge, my foundation was based on forgiveness. And it had to go back to the beginning. So before I had an opportunity to even spread my wings, I had to start forgiving the people in my household because I felt like you robbed me of a childhood. So forgiving my parents, and then understanding that because of that dynamic, it did shift something in the relationship with the siblings, not of our doing, but because of the roles that we were playing. So it was just a lot of work, because when you wake up one day and you say, I don't want to be in this place, now it's like, okay, utilize the tools that you've been given. Apply the tools. Work the tools. Don't just say the scripture. Learn the scripture. Open it up. How does this really apply to my life? And then a good part of that was also telling my story from the areas that I was healed from, because there's power in that and more healing. So sometimes we feel like I read the book, I prayed, I did that, but it's like a piece missing. Well, did you say something? Did you share your story with someone else? There's healing when you speak. So So that was the process. Like, yeah, on the other end, Jesus made a sweet. But no, there were some steps, and forgiveness was the first one, and acceptance and understanding that in that moment, although I can't change time, but I have the power to do what I desire to do. And I learned the word no. And learning the word no is so freeing. Because, again, we grow up in this, so we feel like I'm obligated, I have to, I need to. When I learned the word no, that really started the process to freedom. So that's what my journey looked like as, when I get on the end, I say, man, when I tell you, God is faithful to do just what he said he would do, he's faithful.
Yes.
But that's the process I went through to get to that.
Well, I thank you so much for sharing that. And, everyone has a process. And it's one thing we have to forgive outside people. It's another thing we have to forgive people in your household, your family,
mm-hmm.
and yourself. But you said something, and I'm glad that you really brought it out, because a lot of people teach against this, and I don't understand why, so maybe you can help me. Boundaries, learning to say no, and not know with a question mark, or you know what I'm saying, or something behind it. No means just what it is, no. And so I've heard people say, well, you know, you can't say no, and you have to do, and, but getting to that place of saying no for you, what did it do for you, or what did it do in you?
It allowed me to live my life. And I, although my life started, you know, when I came out the womb, but for me and me not being obligated to help, obligated to allow people to rob my time, that came at age 24 when I finally moved out of the house. Because it broke that, you know, I'm obligated. I got to help you with this. I got to do that. I got to have this responsibility. It broke that. And I'm not going to lie, it was scary, you know, because, you know, I would always, you know, get my nieces and nephews and brother to school and, you know, make sure that they were good. So now I'm saying no, it's like I'm not helping. So it was hard because I was in a parent role, but I'm an auntie, but it happened all when I was young. So it started to define and put me in the proper action of that role. Like, no, you have no kids. You're not a mom. So we're going to go through the process and let that go. You could be auntie. You know, you could, you know, still help and support, but you're not obligated. Because a lot of times we obligate ourselves by saying, yes, 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 yes. And five of those yeses should have been a no, because you need that time to do what you need to do for you to move where it is that you're supposed to be. And so just learning no, it automatically let me know, wow, because I said no to those three things, I can live my life. Or because I said no to those three things, I can now, that this is what it feels like to just be, you know, an aunt. Or this is what it feels like to just working to come home. I don't have another concern. So it allowed me to, like, discover myself. Who am I? You know, what am I doing? What do I really want out of life? It allowed me time to focus on me. You know, so for me, that started at 24. You know, so, yeah, you can't say no. Because we're all individuals, and we all have God has all put in us a plan and a purpose. And if I'm taking on all your yeses, am I really balanced? Am I really able to focus on what it is that I need to do? So, and then saying no to also helps the other person, because people become dependent. Yeah. People lose sight of what it is that they're supposed to do. If you're always saying yes, 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 and then you're like, man, they need to grow up. Well, you're taking that away from them because you won't allow them to say no.
Exactly.
God, I don't know why people don't teach that, but no is freeing. Just say no.
You know, I think it's a T-shirt. It, you know, they say they have a T-shirt that just say no to drugs, but we need a T-shirt that says just say no and really teach this. You know, hey, it's okay not to take on other people's baggage, their issues, you know, the things that they are supposed to be doing for themselves. You know, instead of teaching people how to fish, we go out and we'll fish and, you know, and kill the fish and do all the things and fry it up and put it on a plate, bring it to them and say, here. And of course, they're going to come back to you again when they get hungry because they don't know how to fish. And so I just thank you for sharing that with us. It is necessary and it is freeing. Get your life back. Learn to say no to what's not serving your highest purpose. Some things are just distractions. And we have to know that. And also, when you were talking about you have no kids, you have no responsibilities, that's not your job. And getting to that place of saying, hey, I just want to be the auntie. That's all I want to be. And that was freeing for you. So I thank you for sharing that with us. Now, I know that you are the owner of Healing for Her, moving women and young ladies from pain to purpose. Healing for Her LLC serves to move women and young ladies from pain from the past and low self-esteem towards confidence, strength, and discovering their purpose. We accomplish this through workshops, power talks, and programs presented for high school churches and nonprofit organizations. Now, before I ask you more about Healing for Her, now, listen, audience, you just heard me say that it's for high school churches, nonprofits, hint, hint, wink, wink, workshops, programs. She has shared with us some beautiful information. She's helped us. I know she brought clarity to a lot of things. And if you are encouraged by what she has said and what she has given, and you know you have some youth in your church, or you are a teacher or a principal at school, and you know that there's things going on at your school that need to be addressed by women, and by what she's doing, or your nonprofit organization, bring her in, allow her to speak to your youth and to help you into the women, to help them to move forward in life so they can move from pain, from past their pain, into purpose and not have low self-esteem and low self-worth and all of those things, but live the abundant life. Now, Healing for Her, can you just give us a little bit of information about Healing for Her?
Healing for Her is, as you know, the word healing, you know, that can be in various areas. And for her, it's that mother, that daughter, that auntie, that grandmother. We want to heal the broken places. Your broken, and I say, although your broken place may be different from mine, at some point it's going to connect. We go through, and because we don't have the proper tools and resources and people, we feel like we have to wait for people to afford us the opportunity to be able to get and do better in life. No, you have you have the ability to create the opportunity. And to request and demand what it is that you want for yourself. So Healing for Her basically is for the woman that doesn't have a voice, helping you find your voice. For those, you know, is a specific audience that sometimes people don't want to work with. If you've been hurt and deserted, let's find your voice. Let's find power in your pain. A lot of times we just focus on the pain. Yes, what you went through is traumatic. What you went through, you know, at seven is now affecting how you live and perceive and do things at 40. So I can't talk to you right now. I can't talk to the 40-year-old you. I have to go talk to that 7-year-old girl that never was healed. So that hurt and everything that's still in you that's having you make bad choices and decisions and not be able to be the woman that you want to be, we got to go back. We have to heal her. We have to heal, you know, the 16-year-old girl that got pregnant and had no support. So right now you're 45, but you're still dealing with the hurt from 16. So it really focuses on going back to that moment where it all changed for you. Because you can't, a lot of times we want to put it in the back of our mind, or we've been taught to put it in the back of our mind. We've been taught that we don't have a voice about it. We've been taught that, oh, that's just the norm. And so we adapt that into our regular lives, and then at some point it's going to show up. Whatever you don't deal with in life, it's going to show up. So Healing for Her is going into those places and letting you know this hurt, this pain, this shame, this frustration, this you not loving yourself, you feeling like you're not worthy or appreciated, all that you feel – about yourself, is it going to be the same thing that gives you power to move on, to then know that you are lovable, that you are appreciated, that you are, you know, bold and beautiful? So it's going back to do that and changing the perception. That I could tell you what you want to hear all day long, or I could tell you what it is that I know, well, how it is that I see you. But if your perception don't change, you're going to stay stuck in the same place, because you can have $1 million, but your perception of how or what that money is to you is going to define your outcome. So perception is something that I focus on strongly, as well as three concepts, which is acknowledging, accepting, and changing. Acknowledge what happens, accept it, and let's change the outcome so we can move you from your pain to your purpose. So that's what Healing for Her is.
All right. Well, I'm excited. Thank you for sharing that with us. And, you know, Little Birdie just told me that you have an event coming up September 29th, Inspire Her Workshop in Ontario, California.
Now, yes.
You know, we're almost at that time, and that's the time I really hate to let you go, but I want you to be able to give us your information on how we can come and support you at this event, but also how to have you maybe to speak at someone's event, or if they would like to hire you, bring you to their school, bring you to their workshop, bring you to their nonprofit. How can we contact you and get more information?
Okay. Perfect. So for the Inspire Her Workshop, which is for women that's coming up this month, you can actually register on the website, healingforherllc.com, and, you know, read it, read about it, pay for it, get your registration done there, how to contact me for, you know, speaking engagements, workshops or individual sessions. Is healingforherllc@gmail.com. You can also book through the website. And if you're a phone person, you can also give me a call, 909-652-0311, and just let me know what it is that you're requesting, and we can go from there. So, again, healingforherllc.com. The Gmail is healingforherllc@gmail.com. And hope to hear from you soon.
Well, thank you. I know that you're on Facebook. What other social media platforms are you on so they can contact you or connect with you there as well?
Okay. I am also on Instagram at healing4her_shy. And Facebook is at healing4her, LLC. So those are the two social media sites that I'm on heavily.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing that with us. We thank you for being a guest on the show. I tell you, I learned a lot today, got a lot of information. You were a phenomenal guest, and I look forward to having you back and learning more and more and more about who you are and what you do. And ladies, you know, I always say this, all roads lead somewhere. So, yes, all roads lead to Ontario, California. For her event, Inspire Her Workshop. We want to support her, and it is for women and young ladies, right, Shy?
This particular workshop is for women. I have another one coming up for young girls because I just did one, but this one is specifically for women.
All right. So, women, ladies, we want to go and get some tips and tools for healing, for evolving, and restoration. We don't want to walk around thinking that we're okay and we're not, but we want to be healed and made whole. So at this time, Shai, if there's anything else, I just want to give you a minute just for final words. Is there anything you would like to share with the listening audience?
Well, first I want to thank you for this opportunity, because again, this is a good example of what happens when you show up, what happens when you start walking in your purpose. So I thank you, LaRusha, for following and doing your work so that it provided this platform for me. So I appreciate you. And for the women, and the young ladies. From the women to the young ladies, women, share and tell your stories. Don't just talk about these young girls. Don't just observe and see them hurting and deserted. Go get them. Go share your stories. From the young ladies to the women, understand that they're there to help and support. Just open up a little bit and you will understand and realize that you have someone that's able to walk you through your journey. And together, the young ladies and the women together, once we get together, there's true unity, which brings about power.
Thank you. And thank you for showing up. Thank you. We appreciate you. And we support you, the Living Out Loud Network family. We support you in what you do. And we are so grateful to have you on the LaRusha King Show. And again, we are looking forward to hearing more about your events, you coming back and sharing more with us. And we look forward to all the great things that God has in store for you. Continue to be blessed.
Thank you. You too. And I'm excited for what it is that you're doing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you being on the LaRusha King Show.
You're welcome.
Well, listening audience, you know, it's the time that I hate, the time that I have to let you go. I know, it, you know, it gets good and then you just have to stop. And I'm like, Shai was giving us some great information. I'm telling you, I was learning and she touched on a lot of key things. And I'm telling you, I hope that you took notes. And I hope and I pray that you connect with her because she will help you in your process. Again, you have been listening to the LaRusha King Show on Living Out Loud Network, your self-love place. Be sure to follow us on our social media platforms on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to always accept yourself. Love yourself. Be yourself. And always know that you are the designer's original and there is no one like you. I love you. I'm praying with you and praying for you. And understand and always know that self-care is the best care. Until next time, until the next show, the LaRusha King Show on Living Out Loud Network. Have a phenomenal day. Bye-bye.